Part II of Antigone by Sophocles. Translated by Edward Hayes Plumptree, 1821-1891. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Recording by expatriate in Bangor, Maine. Part II. Creon to Antigone. And now for thee. Say in few words, not lengthening out thy speech, knewst thou the edicts which forbade these things? Antigone. I knew them. Could I fail? Full clear were they. Creon. And thou didst dare to disobey these laws? Antigone. Yes, for it was not Zeus who gave them forth, nor justice, dwelling with the gods below, who traced these laws for all the sons of men. Nor did I deem thy edict strong enough, that thou, a mortal man, shouldst overpass the unwritten laws of God that know not change. They are not of today, nor yesterday, but live forever, nor can man assign when first they sprang to being. Not through fear of any man's resolve was I prepared before the gods to bear the penalty of sinning against these. That I should die, I knew. How should I not? Though thy decree had never spoken. And before my time, if I shall die, I reckon this a gain. For whoso lives, as I, in many woes, how can it be but he shall gain by death? And so for me to bear this doom of thine has nothing painful. But if I had left my mother's son unburied on his death, in that I should have suffered, but in this I suffer not. And should I seem to thee to do a foolish deed, 'tis simply this, I bear the charge of folly from a fool. Chorus. The maiden's stubborn will, of stubborn sire the offspring, shows itself. She knows not yet to yield to evils. Creon. Know, then, minds too stiff most often stumble, and the rigid steel baked in the furnace, made exceeding hard, thou seest most often split and shivered lie. And I have known the steeds of fiery mood with a small curb subdued. It is not meet that one who lives in bondage to his neighbor should think too proudly. Wanton outrage, then, this girl first learnt, transgressing these my laws. But this, when she has done it, is again a second outrage, over it to boast, and laugh as having done it. Surely, then, she is the man, not I, if, all unscathed, such deeds of might are hers. But be she child of mine own sister, or of one more near than all the kith and kin of household Zeus, she and her sister shall not scape a doom most foul and shameful. For I charge her, too, with having planned this deed of sepulture. Go ye and call her. 'Twas but now within I saw her raving, losing self-command. And still the mind of those who in the dark plan deeds of evil is the first to fail, and so convicts itself of secret guilt. But most I hate, when one found out in guilt, will seek to gloz and brave it to the end. Antigone. And dost thou seek aught else beyond my death? Creon. Naught else for me. That gaining, I gain all. Antigone. Why then delay? Of all thy words not one pleases me now, and may it never please. And so all mine must grate upon thine ears. And yet how could I higher glory gain than placing my true brother in his tomb? There is not one of these but would confess it pleases them. Did fear not seal their lips, the tyrant's might in much besides excels, and it may do and say whate'er it will. Creon, of all the race of Cadmos, thou alone look'st thus upon the deed. Antigone, they see it too as I do, but their tongue is tied for thee. Creon, art not ashamed against their thoughts to think? Antigone, there is naught base in honouring our own blood. Creon, and was he not thy kin who fought against him? Antigone, yea, brother, of one father and one mother. Creon, why then give honour which dishonours him? Antigone, the dead below will not repeat thy words. Creon, yes, if thou give like honour to the godless. Antigone, it was his brother, not his slave, that died. Creon, wasting this land while he died fighting for it. Antigone, yet Hades still craves equal rights for all. Creon, the good craves not the portion of the bad. Antigone, who knows if this be wholly deemed below? Creon, not even when he dies can foe be friend. Antigone, My nature leads to sharing love, not hate. Creon. Go then below, and if thou must have love, love them. While I live, women shall not rule. Enter Ismene, led in by attendants. Chorus. And lo, Ismene at the gate comes shedding tears of sisterly regard, and o'er her brow a gathering cloud mars the deep roseate blush, bedewing her fair cheek. Creon to Ismene. And thou, who creeping as a viper creeps, didst drain my life in secret, and I knew not that I was rearing two accursed ones, subverters of my throne, come, tell me then, wilt thou confess thou took'st thy part in this, or wilt thou swear thou didst not know of it? Ismene, I did the deed, if she did, go with her, yes, share the guilt, and bear an equal blame. Antigone, nay, justice will not suffer this, for thou didst not consent, nor did I let thee join. Ismene, nay, in thy troubles I am not ashamed in the same boat with thee to share thy fate. Antigone, who did it, Hades knows, and those below. I do not love a friend who loves in words. Ismene, do not, my sister, put me to such shame as not to let me join in death with thee, and so to pay due reverence to the dead. Antigone, share not my death, nor make thine own this deed. Thou hadst no hand in it. My death shall suffice. Ismene, what life to me is sweet, bereaved of thee? Antigone, ask Creon there, since thou o'er him dost watch. Ismene, why vex me so, in nothing bettered by it? Antigone, 'tis pain indeed to laugh my laugh at thee. Ismene, but now at least how may I profit thee? Antigone, save thou thyself, I grudge not thy escape. Ismene, ah, woe is me, and must I miss thy fate? Antigone, thou madest thy choice to live, and I to die. Ismene, 'twas not because I failed to speak my thoughts. Antigone, to these didst thou, to those did I seem wise. Ismene, and yet the offense is equal in us both. Antigone, take courage. Thou dost live. My soul long since hath died to render service to the dead. Creon, of these two girls, the one goes mad, but now the other ever since her life began. Ismene, even so, O king, no mind that ever lived stands firm in evil days, but goes astray. Creon, thine did, when with the vile, vile deeds thou choosest. Ismene, how could I live without her presence here? Creon, speak not of presence, she is here no more. Ismene, and wilt thou slay thy son's betrothed bride? Creon, full many a field there is which he may plough. Ismene, none like that plighted troth twixt him and her. Creon, wives that are vile I love not for my sons. Ismene, O, dearest Haemon, how thy father shames thee. Creon, thou with that marriage dost but vex my soul. Chorus, and wilt thou rob thy son of her he loved? Creon, 'tis death, not I, shall break the marriage off. Chorus, her doom is fixed, it seems then, she must die. Creon, fixed, yes, by me and thee. No more delay, lead them within, ye slaves. These must be kept henceforth as women, suffered not to roam, for even boldest natures shrink in fear when they see Hades overshadowing life. Exeunt guards with Antigone and Ismene. Strophe 1. Chorus. Blessed are those whose life no woe doth taste, for unto those whose house the gods have shaken, nothing fails of curse or woe that creeps to generations far. E'en thus a wave when spreads with blast from Thracian coasts the darkness of the deep, up from the sea's abyss, hither and thither rolls the black sand on, and every jutting peak, swept by the storm wind's strength, lashed by the fierce wild waves, re-echoes with the far resounding roar. Antistrophe 1. I see the woes that smote in ancient days the seed of Labdacus, who perished long ago with grief on grief still falling, nor does this age rescue that. Some god still smites it down, nor have they any end, for now there rose a gleam over the last weak shoots, that sprang from out the race of Oedipus. Yet this, the blood-stained scythe of those that reign below, cuts off relentlessly, and maddened speech, and frenzied rage of heart. Strophe 2. Thy power, O Zeus, what haughtiness of man, yea, what can hold in check, which neither sleep that maketh all things old, nor the long months of gods that never fail, can for a moment seize. But still as Lord Supreme, waxing not old with time, thou dwellest in thy sheen of radiancy, on far Olympus' height. Through future near or far, as through the past, one law holds ever good. Naught comes to life of man unscathed throughout by woe. Antistrophe 2. For hope to many comes in wanderings wild, a solace and support, to many as a cheat of fond desires, and creepeth still on him who knows it not, until he burn his foot within the scorching flame. Full well spake one of old, that evil ever seems to be as good to those whose thoughts of heart God leadeth unto woe, and without woe he spends but shortest space of time. And here comes Hymen, last of all thy sons. Comes he bewailing sore the fate of her who should have been his bride, the maid Antigone, grieving o'er vanished joys. Enter Hymen. Creon, soon we shall know much more than seers can. Surely thou dost not come, my son, to rage against thy father, hearing his decree, fixing her doom, who should have been thy bride. Or dost thou love us still, whate'er we do? Hymen, my father, I am thine, and thou dost guide with thy wise counsels, which I gladly follow. No marriage weighs one moment in the scales with me, while thou dost guide my steps aright. Creon, this thought, my son, should dwell within thy breast, that all things stand below a father's will. For so men pray that they may rear and keep obedient offspring by their hearths and homes, that they may both requite their father's foes and pay with him like honors to his friend. But he who reareth sons that profit not, what could one say of him but this, that he breeds his own sorrow, laughter to his foes? Lose not thy reason then, my son, or come by pleasure for a woman's sake, but know, a cold embrace is that to have at home a worthless wife, the partner of thy bed. What ulcerous sore is worse than one we love, who proves all worthless? Know, with loathing scorn, as hateful to thee, let that girl go wed a spouse in Hades. Taken in the act I found her, her alone of all the state, rebellious, and I will not make myself false to the state. She dies. So let her call on Zeus, the lord of kindred. If I rear of mine own stock things foul and orderless, I shall have work enough with those without. For he who in the life of home is good will still be seen as just in things of state. I should be sure that man would govern well and know well to be governed, and would stand in war's wild storm on his appointed post, a just and good defender. But the man who by transgressions violates the laws, or thinks to bid the powers that be obey, he must not hope to gather praise from me. No, we must follow whom the state appoints in things or just and trivial, or, may be, the opposite of these. For anarchy is our worst evil, brings our commonwealth to utter ruin, lays whole houses low, in battle strife hurls firm allies in flight. But they who yield to guidance, these shall find obedience saves most men. Thus help should come to what our rulers order. Least of all ought men to bow before a woman's sway. Far better, if it must be so, to fall by a man's hand than thus to bear reproach by woman conquered. Chorus. Unto us, O king, unless our years have robbed us of our wit, thou seemest to say wisely what thou sayest. Hymen. The gods, my father, have bestowed on man his reason, noblest of all earthly gifts, and that thou speakest wrongly these thy words I cannot say. God grant I ne'er know how such things to utter, yet another's thoughts may have some reason. 'Tis my lot to watch what each man says or does, or blames in thee, for dread thy face to one of low estate, who speaks what thou wilt not rejoice to hear. But I can hear the things in darkness said, how the whole city wails this maiden's fate, as one who of all women most unjustly, for noblest deed must die the foulest death, who her own brother, fallen in the fray, would neither leave unburied, nor expose to carrion dogs, or any bird of prey. May she not claim the meed of golden praise? Such is the whisper that in secret runs all darkling. And for me, my father, naught is dearer than thy welfare. What can be a nobler prize of honor for the son than a sire's glory, or for sire than sons? I pray thee, then, wear not one mood alone, that what thou sayest is right, and naught but that, for he who thinks that he alone is wise, his mind and speech above what others have, such men when searched are mostly empty found. But for a man to learn, though he be wise, yea, to learn much, and know the time to yield, brings no disgrace. When winter floods the streams, thou seest the trees that bend before the storm, save their last twigs, while those that will not yield perish with root and branch. And when one hauls too tight the mainsail rope and will not slack, he has to end his voyage with deck o'erturned. Do thou then yield, permit thyself to change. Young though I be, if any prudent thought be with me, I at least will dare assert the higher worth of one who, come what will, is full of knowledge. If that may not be, for nature is not wont to take that bent, 'tis good to learn from those who counsel well. Chorus. My king, 'tis fit that thou shouldst learn from him, if he speaks words in season, and in turn that thou, to Haemon, shouldst learn of him, for both speak well. Creon. Shall we at our age stoop to learn from him, young as he is, the lesson to be wise? Haemon. Learn naught thou shouldst not learn, and if I'm young, thou shouldst my deeds and not my years consider. Creon. Is that thy deed to reverence rebel souls? Haemon. I would bid none waste reverence on the base. Creon. Has not that girl been seized with that disease? Haemon. The men of Thebes with one accord say no. Creon. And will my subjects tell us how to rule? Haemon. Dost thou not see thou speakest like a boy? Creon. Must I then rule for others than myself? Haemon. That is no state which hangs on one man's will. Creon. Is not the state deemed his who governs it? Haemon. Brave rule, alone and o'er an empty land. Creon. This boy, it seems, will be his bride's ally. Haemon. If thou art she, for thou art all my care. Creon. Basest of base, against thy father pleading. Haemon. Yea, for I see thee sin a grievous sin. Creon. And do I sin, revering mine own sway? Haemon. Thou show'st no reverence, trampling on God's laws. Creon. O guilty soul, by woman's craft beguiled. Haemon. Thou wilt not find me slave unto the base. Creon. Thy every word is still on her behalf. Haemon. Yea, and on thine and mine, and theirs below. Creon. Be sure thou shalt not wed her while she lives. Haemon. Then she must die, and dying others slay. Creon. And dost thou dare to come to me with threats? Haemon. Is it a threat against vain thoughts to speak? Creon. Thou to thy cost shalt teach me wisdom's ways, thyself in wisdom wanting. Haemon. I would say thou wast unwise, if thou wert not my father. Creon. Thou woman slave, I say, prate on no more. Haemon. Wilt thou then speak, and speaking listen not? Creon. Nay, by Olympus, thou shalt not go free to flout me with reproaches. Lead her out whom my soul hates, that she may die forthwith before mine eyes, and near her bridegroom here. Haemon. No, think it not. Near me she shall not die, and thou shalt never see my face alive, that thou mayst storm at those who like to yield. Exit Haemon. Chorus. The man has gone, O king, in hasty mood. A mind distressed in youth is hard to bear. Creon. Let him do what he will, and bear himself as more than man. He shall not save those girls. Chorus. What? Dost thou mean to slay them both alike? Creon. Not her who touched it not. There thou sayst well. Chorus. What form of death mean'st thou to slay her with? Creon. Leading her on to where the desert path is loneliest, there alive in rocky cave will I immure her, just so much of food before her set as may avert pollution, and save the city from the guilt of blood. And there, invoking Hades, whom alone of all the gods she worships, she perchance shall gain escape from death, or then shall know that Hades' worship is but labor lost. Strophe. Chorus. O love, in every battle victor owned, love rushing on thy prey, now on a maiden's soft and blooming cheek, in secret ambush hid, now o'er the broad sea wandering at will, and now in shepherd's folds, of all the undying ones none scape from thee, nor yet of mortal men whose lives are measured as a fleeting day, and who has thee is frenzied in his soul. Antistrophe. Thou makest vile the purpose of the just, to his own fatal harm. Thou hast stirred up this fierce and deadly strife of men of nearest kin. The charm of eyes of bride beloved and fair is crowned with victory, and dwells on high among the powers that rule, equal with holiest laws. For Aphrodite, she whom none subdues, sports in her might and majesty divine. I, even I, am born beyond the appointed laws. I look on this and cannot stay the fountain of my tears. For lo, I see her, see Antigone, wend her sad lonely way to that bride chamber where we all must lie. Antigone. Behold, O men of this my fatherland, I wend my last lone way, seeing the last sunbeam now and nevermore. He leads me yet alive, Hades that welcomes all, to Acheron's dark shore, with neither part nor lot in marriage festival. Nor hath the marriage hymn been sung for me as bride, but I shall be the bride of Acheron. Chorus. And hast thou not all honor, worthiest praise, who goest to the home that hides the dead, not smitten by the sickness that decays, nor by the sharp sword's meed, but of thine own free will, in fullest life, alone of mortals, thus to Hades takes thy way? Antigone. I heard of old her pitiable end, on Sipylus' high crag, the Phrygian stranger from a far land come, whom Tantalus begat, whom growth of rugged rock, clinging as ivy clings, subdued and made its own. And now so runs the tale, there, as she melts in shower, the snow abideth aye, and still bedews yon cliffs that lie below those brows that ever weep. With fate like hers God brings me to my rest. Chorus. A goddess she, and of the high gods born, and we are mortals born of mortal seed. And lo, for one who liveth but to die, to gain like doom with those of heavenly race is great and strange to hear. Antigone. Ye mock me then. Alas, why wait ye not? By all our father's gods I ask of you, till I have passed away, but flout me while I live. O city that I love, O men that claim as yours that city stored with wealth, O Dirce, fairest fount, O grove of Thebes that boasts her chariot host, I bid you witness all, how with no friends to weep, by what stern laws condemned, I go to that strong dungeon of the tomb for burial strange. Ah me, nor dwelling with the living nor the dead. Chorus. Forward and forward still to farthest verge of daring hast thou gone. And now, O child, thou hast rushed violently where right erects her throne. Surely thou payest to the uttermost thy father's debt of guilt. Antigone. Ah, thou hast touched the quick of all my grief, the thrice-told tale of all my father's woe, the fate which dogs us all, the old Labdacid race of ancient fame. Woe for the curses dire of that defiled bed, with foulest incest stained, my mother's with my sire, whence I myself have sprung, most miserable. And now I go to them, to sojourn in the grave, accursed and unwed. Ah, brother, thou didst find thy marriage fraught with ill, and thou, though dead, hast smitten down my life. Chorus. Acts reverent and devout may claim devotion's name, but power in one to whom power comes as trust may never be defied. And thee, thy stubborn mood, self-chosen, layeth low. Antigone. Unwept without a friend, unwed and whelmed in woe, I journey on this road that open lies. No more shall it be mine, O misery, to look upon yon daylight's holy eye. And yet of all my friends, not one bewails my fate, no kindly tear is shed. Enter Creon. End of part 2. Recording by expatriate in Bangor, Maine.